Hello, everyone. I'm Leslie Cornwell with Midwifery Business Consultation. I'm really excited to have Casey Messmer here with Messmer Marketing. Thanks. And she has been working, we call her the midwife marketer. She's been working in marketing for midwives specifically the last 4 years. I've known Casey, I think, pretty much for those 4 years. We've grown together for quite a while. She has a young, sweet little girl at home and an amazing husband. And I wanted to do an interview to talk about the importance of marketing a midwifery practice. Sometimes doing things yourself makes sense if you have a background, and sometimes it makes sense to hire the experts. So I'll let you take it at that point, Casey.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, there's always going to be different approaches. And I think Leslie and I can both agree, working with midwives, we know that the major factor is always budget, right? So it's like, the first thing that you consider at any point as a midwife is, do I have the budget for this? And some people just truly do not have the budget, and I'm well aware of that. And that's why when I'm marketing my services to midwives, I always talk to them about their budget. And that's the first conversation we ever have, because truly that's the only thing on their mind is, can I even afford this? And is it a good enough value? And so if you don't think either of those are true for you, you're going to do your own marketing. And interestingly enough, midwives don't actually have a lot of time for marketing. and that's kind of the catch-22, is I get midwives from all over the country who are like, oh, I started doing my own marketing and I think it actually did worse for me than better, and I need somebody to help me kind of out of this situation that I've put myself in. And sometimes it goes great, but most of the time it ends up with a birth assistant or somebody in the office who is now in charge of social media, and they have no idea what to do with social media, and everybody's confused. So at the end of the day, I help people. I do consults all the time, just hour-long consults where we go over your social media or your marketing ideas, so that you can implement them yourself, or I do marketing packages where I take over everything for you so that you don't have to worry about it. So I work in both worlds. I've seen both things happen, and you can be just as successful doing it yourself as you can be hiring somebody else, as long as you put the effort forward, is what I've noticed.
Yeah. Well, and the other part with it is specializing in social media. Like, there's different types of marketers in your niche, and I'm curious what got you into social media, because especially for midwives and cost effective in our target market, it makes total sense to do Facebook and blogs and the online presence.
Right. I think, well, it kind of all goes back to why I originally got into this in the first place, which is I had my daughter, and at the time I was working for a chiropractic marketing firm, and that was great. But I had just been married for 3 months when I found out I was, like, surprise pregnant, and I didn't do any research or anything. And I just went to my normal OB that I'd been going to since I was like 16, and everything was fine and dandy until I found out that I had gestational diabetes, which kind of came as a shock to all of us, everybody involved. And once that happened, it kind of went downhill experience wise for me. And then at about, like, I guess 36 weeks, they were like, it's time to start thinking about scheduling an induction. And at that time I was just like, oh, that's just really not a possibility for me. I'm not going to do that. I had had time to kind of read up on things and know what I wanted, even though I was, like, pretty new to the whole world and I wasn't expecting to get pregnant. I finally did some research and was like, no, that's not what I want. So it got to the point where I just had, like, this heated blow up with my OB probably a couple of days before I delivered. She was like, you're nowhere near where you need to be. We need to schedule an induction. And this was at 38 weeks. Mm-hmm. And she's like, you need to schedule an induction. And I left just crying. And my husband's like, we need to go. And I'm like, we're not scheduling anything. No, I'm not scheduling anything. I'm leaving. And I'm going to just process my thoughts. And I'm going to take until 40 weeks. And then at 40 weeks, if this baby has not come on her own, we can discuss it. Because with gestational diabetes, I was at 50% the entire time. She was at 50% height and weight the entire time. She was getting extra monitoring. I was not concerned about it. So I just knew in my gut. And then 3 days later, I had this baby.
Yeah.
By myself. She came on her own. So after my birth experience, which did not go very well, because obviously I just fought with my OB 2 days prior, I was like, how did I get myself into this situation? Like, how was I so uneducated when it came to my own birth? Why wasn't I informed that there were other options out there for me? So that's when I started doing this digging. There was a birth center like 5 miles from the hospital. And I was like, I could have given birth at that birth center had they had me with my gestational diabetes, but I could have looked for other options and I didn't, and I didn't know there was other options out there. And that's what kind of sent me on the spiral, because I was already working in chiropractic marketing and it just seemed so natural for me to move into the midwifery world because I had given birth and I wanted to bring that information to women so that, because there just always seems to be this gap. Midwives, maybe they're older, they don't want to adapt to technology, or they're sending it to their birth assistant. Nobody's being consistent with it. And when that happens, then there's this gap for women like me who could have had a better birth experience had I just gotten a Facebook ad that said, hey, this doesn't have to be your situation. And that kind of just like pushed me into this world. And she was an infant at the time. And I was like, okay, let's do this. We're going to start this business and we're going to make sure that these midwives are known in their communities, because I cannot have another situation where women are out there in these labor and delivery rooms being bullied by their doctors when they have midwives down the street that actually respect and understand their bodies and the process. So yeah, I mean,
Well, I think a good chunk of it has to do with just as much we want clients for our businesses. There's so many women, it breaks my heart when I'd have a new consult and then her friend who had a baby 6 months ago is just almost tearful. If I'd have known you existed. So like, we almost have this obligation to do good marketing because people are looking for your services. You have to connect you with that person when they're getting so much thrown at them, and you want to be able to provide. There is a huge demand for midwifery, but how do you get that marketing so that people can find you?
And it all comes down to budget, right? Because that is the first thing a midwife is going to think about. Do I have the budget for this? But at the end of the day, you also have to weigh the budget versus, do people know I exist? Will I get new clients to be able to afford marketing? It all comes back full circle. So you have to weigh those options pretty steadily, which is why when I start working with people, the first question I always ask is, what is your budget? Because there are going to be marketing companies out there, and I'll get into this shortly, but there's going to be marketing companies out there who say, you know, it's $1,000 a month or $1,500 a month or something, flat rate, like this is what we'll do for you. And midwives will go into it thinking, okay, yeah, I'll do this for like 2 or 3 months. And if I get enough clients to continue to pay for it, then we'll keep that going. And that's just not an effective way to do your marketing. So when I talk to midwives, the first thing I say is, what is your budget long-term? What can you afford out of pocket long-term? If that's $300, let's figure out what fits into $300 of my time so that we can make that work for long-term, because $300 worth of my work long-term over a year, 2 years, 3 years is going to be way more successful than 2 months of marketing that you can't afford in the first place. And marketers who don't understand that just do not understand the industry. And you have to find somebody who understands your industry. And you also have to find somebody who knows birth. So I think my situation just kind of makes me more ready to work with midwives because I have had that experience. I know what it feels like to be part of that gap that just fell through the cracks and be passionate about wanting to make sure going forward people know that they have options. And you don't find
it. Expanding a little bit more on that. Like, I think a lot of midwives, because we're like fast paced, tight budget, we want an instant gratification that we put this ad out, we're going to have 15 calls next week. Like, can you go a little more in details about the marketing campaign and the backdrop, things you can show people that things are happening, even though you don't get the client right through the door, there's actual algorithms to help your exposure and branding.
Right. I think everybody is so fast paced, and that's the hardest part about being a marketer in any industry whatsoever, is people are like, oh, I'm paying you. What can you show me right now? And long-term investments with marketing are always better than short-term investments. And it's difficult, especially when people are talking to me about SEO, because it's such this weird thing that most people have never heard about, to be like, yeah, you give me your money and then I go in, I'm going to do these backlinks, and over time they're going to become, you know, more important and they're going to boost your SEO. And it doesn't seem like I'm doing anything whatsoever. Part of the reason why I stay mostly in social media is because it's easier to see the success in social media. So just to give you an example, I've worked with somebody before who bought their Facebook followers, which is a big mistake. Don't do that. And then she hired me to come in to fix that problem because she had all these Facebook followers who are now officially spam, and they were essentially wrecking your Facebook page, which was awful. But she also had people on there that she wanted to keep around. And she bought her followers. And immediately I was just like, okay, let's start this from scratch. We got rid of all the purchased followers. And I said, okay, you're going to pay me, you know, your monthly fee that you can afford in your budget. And then we're going to come up with a Facebook ad budget and we're going to run Facebook ads. And those are the likes that you're going to get to your page. If likes are important to you, then we're going to bring in the likes with a Facebook ad budget with real human people. And that's what's most important to me. Yes, you can spend, you know, $500 to get 100 Facebook followers or whatever the going rate is for it now. But do you consider that successful? Do you consider a bunch of fake Facebook followers successful? People who are never going to come in? Not necessarily, no. So especially if they're going to wreck your Facebook page. But when it comes down to where's the value, like how do you show your value? I think it really just comes down to every month there's a check-in. There's me telling you, hey, look at this. Like I show detailed reports. If somebody wants to see a detailed report, here's a detailed report of what we're doing. If you need to talk about it because you don't think it's substantial enough, then that's a conversation that we need to have together. And I think everybody's views of what marketing success is different. I have people who come to me and say, I just really need to gain more followers on Facebook and get Facebook ads out there so that I'm reaching more people. Okay, we can do that. But there's also people who are like, oh, I heard Facebook is moving to Instagram, so why don't we focus on Instagram? And Instagram is a big deal, and making sure Instagram stories are updated. And those, there's also metrics that you can track on Instagram. So it really depends on who I'm working with, but there's always a way to show some sort of results to somebody who's looking.
Yeah. Well, I think it's part of it is getting to the basis, like having a midwife that's doing well woman care versus doing pregnancy care. They're going to have a different target market. And I've liked just your amazing responsiveness, knowing when talking to a marketer, what are you hiring, getting in details what that contract looks like. Your response time has been impressive to me, and that's helpful. When I don't want to be on Facebook and I don't want to be checking and keeping an eye on everything, you'd be like, hey, get a quick text, there's a message you want to respond to. I'm not the one checking. It's great to have an understanding of what your services or any marketer's services are encompassing. When you're paying them a flat rate, ask those detailed questions.
Right. And I think follow-up is really important. And one of the things that I think is most important is I get calls and text messages and email submissions constantly from people who are like, hey, I'm going to work with this person who's going to, you know, start my birth center. I just got one the other day who's like, oh, I'm paying $6,000, or I was given a contract for $6,000 for this birth center that I'm going to start. And I don't know if it's a fair price, or I don't know if the work they're doing is a fair price. It's not work that I typically do. It was a landing page and some videos and a couple of things that are not typically on my job description. But I was like, hey, send me over the contract. Let me look at this. Because at the end of the day, I don't care who I work with or don't work with. I don't want any midwife out there being scammed by a marketing company that's going to just take all of their money, especially knowing that midwives get so busy, or they just truly don't know what's going on, that they won't check in. And now that money is gone or it's being wasted. And that's really frustrating for me. So I do like to check. I say that blatantly right now on this YouTube interview that I don't mind checking over people's contracts, especially if it's work that I can't do anyway. Yeah. Let me know, because I'm interested to make sure that nobody's out there getting scammed for no reason.
Right. Well, and I think midwifery scope is so unique, even if, like, I've had a couple marketers say, well, we've worked with OBs all the time. And I'm like, obstetrician, a medical grade website and Facebook page is not a midwifery. Like, we have very few consumers that know what midwives are, let alone marketers. So yeah, I've only had a handful of specific specialized marketing companies for midwives. And so I think it would be great for you to touch on just a little bit what questions to ask them, who they've worked with, or interviewing things to know if you're getting somebody that's really going to be helpful to your specific specialty.
One of my favorite questions to ask is, have you given birth, or have you been in the room when somebody has given birth? I think that kind of attachment to it is just a whole different ballgame. There is another like midwife marketing company. There's a couple of them, but you can see in their work that there's no birth in that company, you know? And I come in and say, I'm going to put the birth back in your birth center, because it's so easy to become, you know, a company that puts out like these like propaganda like videos and photos that are so similar to what everybody else is doing, like an OB office. But at the end of the day, the one thing that you have as a birth center or midwife is that your birth looks so different than anybody else's birth. I mean, I don't know if you've seen pictures, obviously you have, but if you look at pictures, the difference between a hospital birth and a birth center birth is just so drastically different. And there's a reason that you could put those two photos up next to each other on Facebook, and you would see people gravitate towards natural birth photos because it's just so much more eye-catching, and it's just mesmerizing to be scrolling through your Facebook and just be stopped by this image that you're just like, whoa, that's not something that I'm used to, but it's something that I definitely think I could like. And it's powerful. It's just powerful. Natural birth with midwives is just this powerful thing that I don't think people utilize their full potential in social media. And at the end of the day, you need to be vetting your marketing company to see if they even know. I got one of
if
my
clients. If they ask you what a midwife is, your first conversation, it's usually a red flag that you should probably look somewhere else.
You probably should look somewhere else, especially if they say they've never birthed. I had a client who came to me who was like, oh yeah, this national company just came to me and they, you know, said that they could do my marketing or whatever. I told them I had a marketer and they said, you know, that they were just this like big name brand. And she's like, yeah, that's not what I'm trying to work in. Like, if you knew that I was a midwife, you would know that that's actually not something that would,
I don't want an assembly line. Yeah. International McDonald's stand. I want personal homie. Right. Yeah. I've looked at hundreds and hundreds of websites and I can tell in about 30 seconds if this is a medical backed birth center, hospital affiliated birth center, or if it's a midwife one, because you can tell the feel of the marketing. Like, it's the small mom and pop website versus the medical. Like, here's what, how you contact, call 911 if you have an emergency, like all the standard stereotypical medical things. And that's not what women are looking for. So yes, I think marketing and getting that style of a midwife is so important with your team.
Right. And I think you're correct in assuming that you can pretty much tell the difference in websites, because any midwife that I've ever worked with on a website is like, hey, here are 1,000 images of somebody giving birth, you know, and like, there are always people who are willing to share their photos with you, which is what I love the most. Is I don't think midwives understand how budget friendly marketing can be for them. One of the things that I always suggest is, hey, reach out to the people who have paid photographers. You know, they want to give you their photos. They have paid for those photos. They'd be happy to give you those photos and you can use those for marketing purposes. And that's free. You don't have to pay anybody for that. You just have to tag them on Facebook or Instagram. And that there are so many situations where you can just do marketing on a budget for a midwife so affordable. It just upsets me when people don't take advantage of that.
Well, it's getting creative in a win-win situation. Like, working with you directly, you trade your time for money and resources, but like, you can talk to doulas, childbirth educators, lactation consultants, naturopath, chiropractors. You can do sister affiliations, and there's so much marketing potential that can be trading and bartering each other's marketing. So I think there's a lot of that. Could be a whole other topic, but I think it is
right.
Important.
Yeah. I actually got approached about that the other day by someone who was like, yeah, we don't have enough money individually, but we thought we could create this like co-op group. And if you want to work with us, we'd be happy to, you know, all work together to afford your services. And that is a great idea. Like, if you don't want to be the person who does the actual marketing, or your birth assistant is like, hey, this is no longer my job, I am not interested in this, then that's a way to make it happen. But there's also DIY options out there. Like, on my website, I have a Facebook ad class that you can take. It's $50. It takes maybe 3 hours to get through the whole thing. And it's step-by-step setting up your Facebook ads in behind the scenes in Business Manager. I'm going to walk you through in a video that's literally like, click here, click here, click here. Here's how to input.
Remind me after this is done, Casey, we'll put the link at the bottom of just the description so people can go to it.
Yes. So it's super easy. I know a lot of people are like, oh, I don't have the budget for marketing, but if you have $50 to put on your budget every month for Facebook ads, that's going to do a lot more than nothing. So if you're not advertising at all on Facebook and you're like, hey, I want to buy this class for $50 and then every month I want to spend $25, $50, that's going to benefit you. Whether it's $25 or $100 or $200 that you're putting behind your ads, you're still doing something.
So what would you do if somebody is saying, I've got a little money to put towards ads? Can you compare Facebook ads, Google ads, or any other potential ads online and what the differences are?
I can. So I am actually Google AdWords certified, which is cool. But in birth center marketing, there's very few times that I actually recommend Google ads, just because there's not, in most areas, there's just not enough competition to run Google ads. So you all are going to fight over each other, and cost more money. Google ads cost more money per click than Facebook ads. If you run a Facebook ad video, for instance, it costs you like 2 cents to get viewed by somebody, as opposed to if you start running Google ads and you compete with the birth center down the street, then they're going to outbid you, then you're going to outbid them all the way until neither of you can afford it anymore to outbid each other, when you're going to be the top two people to show up anyway. So if you're going to invest in trying to be higher in the search rankings, then you need to invest in SEO instead of AdWords, because your AdWords dollars are really going nowhere. Once you use those, you lose them. If you're investing in your SEO, it's going to help your search engine optimization, like ranking. And at least down the road, you're like, well, I put money into it, but I'm higher ranking naturally.
Because once you want to explain inorganic versus organic, just the rankings and how that happens, that would be helpful.
Yes. So if you want to pay naturally, if you want to pay, you can be at the top of Google for birth centers. And then you pay them $3 per click, $4 per click, whatever you and your competitors decide on as you're going back and forth. And you will pop up at the top of Google and we're one of the sponsored ads. Most people's goal typically is SEO though, because they see more benefit in that, because once you turn AdWords off and stop running ads, you're not at the top anymore. Whereas if you are working on your SEO behind the scenes, then you're just naturally bringing yourself to the top. Now, SEO is where you stand on Google naturally. So without running ads, if you Google, you know, a birth center in your area, you should come up at the top naturally, unless you have competitors. So if you're investing more in SEO than your competitors, it will be easier for you to rank higher. And SEO is typically a lot of behind the scenes website stuff. So it's like your meta descriptions, your title tags, your alt tags, and it's also creating a blog and creating backlinks in those blogs to like external references and internal references. So that when Google looks at it, they're like, oh, this is like a well put together, educated site by people who know what they're talking about, and it establishes credibility and it helps you rank higher. And that's really what's most important, is making sure your site naturally ranks higher. And sometimes it costs more to pay for SEO services. It really just depends on who you're working with. I don't typically work in SEO services. I know some really great people who do that are affordable for midwives, and I typically refer them to those people. But I don't really play in the game of Google AdWords, because I feel like most of your audience is going to either have Facebook or Instagram, and you can run those ads for so much cheaper. So I would rather retarget them 30 times with the same budget than hit them once on Google AdWords. But it really is, it depends on who you're talking to. Some midwives are like, I want Google AdWords, and I'm not going to say no to that. There's nothing I can do. But my professional advice is always focus on Facebook and Instagram, because I would rather hit somebody, like I said, 30 times during their pregnancy over and over again than them have to come seek me out on Google.
Well, and I think it's the opposite direction. If you've never had a midwife before, how are you going to know the right words to search for a birth center midwife? So yeah, having the search engine optimization has to actually put in the right words. And so if this woman wants your services but doesn't really know the word for it, she has this feeling of what she's looking for, but she's never heard of a midwife before, that's not going to help you. So that's why I love with like Facebook and Instagram and some of these, like to put a post out and to start your own landing page to link your website, link some of these articles and resources. It's cheap. It's you're going to get that target market for the women we're looking for, and you're going to get a following, and they share it. Like when things go viral, I know we've had that a couple times, that it's powerful marketing. So
Yes. If you give them, that's another part of social media marketing that's really important. Putting the birth in birth center is something that I constantly talk about, but people love it. And I'm sure, I don't even need to ask, but I'm 100% sure that every birth center owner that I've ever talked to is like, our pictures of babies are the things that do the best. Like our pictures of birth and babies are things that absolutely do the best. We could share a million things and people would only care about the pictures of the births and the babies. And it's like, you understand that. So now we need to implement that. You need to use that information, because if you just take it and process that and do nothing with it and still share a bunch of stuff that people don't typically care about, then you're not being successful in your marketing. Your marketing is not about you as a person. Your marketing is about who you're trying to reach. And I think that people get lost on that. As a midwife, you're like, oh, this article is just like very important, which I fully understand. And it's important to you as a midwife. And it's important, like you just feel it in your bones. You need to share this information. But what's important to you is not necessarily what's going to be important to your audience. So when you're looking at social media, the most important thing is to look at the people there and say, what are they going to share for me? Like, what can I use to satisfy what they need so that they can share it? And that overall, that's the goal. You know that information. You've read the article. You can think about it all day long if you want to and share it on your personal page. But if it's not going to be beneficial, then I'm usually like, hey, let's cater to our audience because that's why they're here. They want us to give them those things. And that's what I always suggest.
Well, and I think focusing your Facebook on what services, if you are a birth center, a midwife, and you want 90-95% birth, you need to push the moms, the babies. If you want more GYN services to increase your revenue value units, you need to start implementing, did you know midwives can do things outside of birth and baby? Like your target focus marketing is the services you want to promote. And that's a conversation with you or your marketing person. If you're trying to push one direction all day long, but you want to specialize in something completely different, you've got to get your market direction of the women you want to have.
Right. And I think in the olden days, that was something that I did for you was, well, Woman Care did extremely well. And I have another client who focuses really heavily on Well Woman Care. And this is something I actually go over in my Facebook ad course, is focusing on those different markets, like Well Woman Care and like focusing on women who might not know they're interested in natural birth and are pregnant, like mm-hmm. So those target audiences are in my Facebook ad group, like, oh, who should I target if I'm looking for Well Woman checks? Yeah. And then I'm like, these are the groups that here is how you target them. And yeah, that is the benefit of the Facebook ad course, is that's the thing that people come back to me constantly and say, I did not understand those demographics and now I have them as a checklist when I'm making my ads, and it's been a game changer. Because the big deal is, who do I even target? Like, if I'm making a Facebook ad, most people boost them. Big no-no. Do not do that. Do not press the boost button on your Facebook page. This is the least effective way to run a Facebook ad. You want to get into Business Manager and you want to be able to detailed target everything you could possibly want. And that's behind the scenes. It's not in the boost button. Facebook gave people the boost button to get money from people and to make it as easy as possible, but it is not as effective. So this kind of takes you behind the scenes and is like, this is how you run an effective Facebook campaign behind the scenes, get into Business Manager. Here's all the detailed targeting you need. And then I break it down like, hey, let's talk about Well Woman Care. Who are we targeting for Well Woman Care? And I think a big thing for Well Woman Care, especially for you and my other client, is, hey, do you not want to wait 45 minutes in an OB office? That was one of the most successful ads I've ever run for Well Woman Care, was just like, hey, are you tired of waiting 45 minutes for your appointment? Come over here. Like it, and people were like,
something
what?
So simple. To us as a midwife, we already know automatically you don't sit, you're personalized, you get a long visit. We know this, but we have to think like our clients, or what are they frustrated with the competition, and use that to brand. So like, even when you were talking about the Well Woman Care, even having an age specific, if you want postmenopausal, great, awesome, target 50-year-olds. But I found the best bang for the buck was teenagers, because it's a long-term investment. If you want a return on investment, you are getting someone that's never exposed to the healthcare system. They typically, if they're happy with their OB care provider, they're going to stay with that person for birth. So you've just now used that one client that's not had any babies yet and can now expand into your new OBs in time. So, and they're already established with the midwifery model of care, which makes it so much easier during pregnancy and birth. So I've loved teenager focused Well Woman Care as a high marketing campaign.
Especially early 20s as well. If you're near a college campus, it's really beneficial. Women just feel more comfortable. When I look back at my time being seen by an OB, one of the most frustrating things of my life was just how much time it took for everything. And it was super annoying. I was like, I could be doing about 1,000 other things and not feeling prioritized ever. So, and it's funny because now, I guess a couple weeks ago, I needed to go for a Well Woman check, and I specifically, and it was in the middle of COVID, and I called somebody I'd never heard of before, a practice here, and I called the midwife and I was like, hey, I know it's like a crazy busy time for you guys. We're in the middle of a pandemic, but I need a well woman check. And she was like, yeah, I can get you in 2 days. And I was just like, okay. And she's like, all right, well, this is how you get in. And then when I went in, she was just like waiting for me to be there. And I'm like, oh, this is so wonderful that I don't have to go jump through all the hoops of, yeah.
It's the complex system with our medical healthcare system is getting more and more systematic and larger. Midwifery care, I mean, I stress that the next few years with the pandemic and the healthcare cost and the assembly line happening, midwives and birth centers are going to boom. They truly, truly are. But until we get our presence of business education, marketing education, what we're about, it's going to be a huge barrier. So I love your services and I think they're amazing. Is there any other tips of things you could suggest to midwives they could start today, tomorrow?
I think this just goes back to what I was saying before, which is make sure you vet your marketing person. Make sure that you're talking to them, because if they don't know birth, and I'm not saying this to be like, oh, keep men out of birth center marketing or whatever. No, if they don't know birth, if they haven't had that experience, there's a line there that they don't understand. So when I'm talking
to empathy and passion.
Yeah. So when I'm talking to you, and I'm like, oh, I wanted to go get my well woman check and I went down the street, you know, like those are things I can say because I've experienced them and I know firsthand, and then I can relate those back to the marketing that I do for other people. When you don't have that experience, it's just very obvious. And
you're a direct consumer. You're a direct consumer. You're directly getting the care on the other end. You can relate to both ends.
That's what I tell people all the time. I'm like, you're coming to the right marketer because I'm the exact person that you're trying to target. And I'm doing your marketing. I am the exact person that you're looking for. And I am now officially in charge of targeting people just like myself to come in. And it doesn't get more effective than that because I know what people are looking for. And then another thing I think I would just keep in mind is making sure that if you're doing DIY marketing, which is awesome, that you have a schedule, that you have a content schedule, that you keep a consistent schedule, and you make sure that you have follow through, because if you don't have follow through and your content isn't consistent, you're not going to see any results. That's the biggest, I guess, perplexing thing for me is most people are like, oh, I'm going to do marketing myself. And then they just do it for like 3 days and just hit you with 5,000 posts. And then you don't hear from them for like a month and a half. And you're like, that's not effective marketing. It's not helpful at all. So you want
to
just.
Yeah. On the other end, it makes people wonder what happened to that person. They went crazy. They hired somebody. Like it makes you think the wrong direction. You want consistency and teaching people how to schedule posts and spend. Okay. Like I would do once every 3 months, I would do a bunch of blog posts. I'd do a bunch of videos and then I'd schedule them for the next 3 months. And then if something came up exciting, I would add little things here and there, but to have a routine, like every 3 months, I know I'm spending a couple days focusing on X, Y, Z.
And you don't even have to do it. Like that sounds a little daunting. You could do it Sunday night and you're like, hey, I'm going to grab 5 things that I want to schedule out for this week, or 3 things I want to schedule out for this week. At the very beginning, don't overwhelm yourself.
Yeah. That's just the style I've gotten into for my routine. But yes, there's simple ways just to get into it, to say, I'm going to do one blog post a month. I'm going to the first of the month, kind of like you're paying your bills, like something simple, like to get people into it. Everybody's style is going to be different.
And just kind of force yourself to do it. And once you force yourself for long enough, it just becomes a routine. And once you're consistent, you're going to see those results. I think the problem comes down to, even if you're doing it yourself, it takes time and you want these immediate results. And if you don't see them, you're just going to kind of fade out. And I don't want anybody to do that. That's why when you do hire a marketer, it's awesome because they have the ability to be like, no, you need to stick with this for the long haul. Somebody can keep you accountable for the long haul. And that's why, again, I go back to the fact that you should take a look at your budget and decide how much budget you have for marketing. Don't go in with your eyes all big and be like, oh, okay, well, we'll see if this works out, because that's a good way to spend several thousand dollars very quickly and then not have anything to show for it a couple months down the line. That's not great. So
do you have any suggestions of basic things for someone starting out their practice if they've got a tighter budget, like I know a website and a social media page, and then people that are more established wanting to get to the next level? Are they very similar marketing campaigns or are they different?
I would suggest, if you already have a website and you have a Facebook page or an Instagram page, the first thing that you do is sit down and create a content schedule. So you're like, okay, I need to put out photos and articles, I need to be putting out something. So the way I sit down to do it, I'll tell you my behind the scenes details. The way I sit down to do it is I'm like, okay, I want to post 5 things this week. I'm going to post Monday through Friday around the same time. 2 of those days I want a photo. 1 of those days I want an article. 1 of those days I want a graphic. And that's when I'm like, okay, now I'm in charge of going to pull the photos. You have photos because so many people have photos that they're willing to share for you. So when I start with somebody, I'm always just like, hey, let me throw out a Facebook post asking people to email us some photos that they don't mind us using for Facebook purposes. And then I get 1,000,000. And then I have a whole drive folder dedicated to that client where there's 1,000,000 photos that I can pull from. And then I'm like, okay, I'll go pull a photo or 2 photos and schedule these posts out in Facebook, in the back end of Facebook. And then I don't have to think about it for a whole week and it's done, taken care of, everybody's good. And that's when I start running Facebook ads. The Facebook ad course, I can't, we'd be here all day if I tried to tell you all of the details of Facebook ads, but you can run Facebook ads on the content that you're putting out to gain more engagement on your post. And I always recommend that. And if you take the Facebook ad course, you will figure that out. I hate being that person.
No, I mean, your course is great and I would highly recommend it to anybody that's wanting to get some exposure to marketing. How long does it take to do your course? Like, how long is the content?
I don't think it's any longer than 3 hours. It's okay, pretty cool. And I also break it down to like, are you running this campaign for engagement purposes or are you running this campaign for Facebook likes? And then you can just kind of take one route or the other. You don't have to watch everything all at one time. So, and I also made it more so it's like you watch it as you're creating the Facebook ad. So you can like split screen it and you're like, oh, this is what she clicked. I'm going to click that. This is what she clicked. I'm going to click that. So you can do it as you're creating the ads.
Okay. That makes total sense. So, well, thank you very, very much, Casey. I hope everybody has gotten lots of information, took lots of notes, watched this a few times because I learned a lot just talking to you.
Yeah, it's been perfect. I'm glad that I get to speak to all the midwives. Hi, guys.
Yeah, no, I think it's so important. The point of these to talk to the experts across the country is to help midwives that have limited time, don't have a background in business, don't have these resources. Like hearing somebody that's like no strings attached, you're telling them what they should focus on, what they shouldn't focus on, and like a direction to go from. Because I think that's a good chunk of why, particularly nurse midwives that stay in the hospital setting, they like the idea of private practice, but it's overwhelming to think of all these aspects of running a business. So if you can do a little bit at a time, talk to, learn about marketing, learn, okay, this makes sense to hire you for this part, to do this on my own, to really focus on certain parts for marketing.
Right. Yes. And it's always great to talk to somebody again who has no strings attached. I have no strings attached. I just want everybody to be getting the most out of their marketing, whether they're doing it by themselves or they're hiring somebody. Just don't allow somebody to take all your money from you because you have better places to put it.
Well, thank you very, very much, Casey. And you have a great rest of your day.
All right. Bye.